Thanksgiving. No huge family fights. Just the right sized family fights. Well, Thanksgiving is over, but don't forget, you can still give thanks. Okay? All the time. And then I noticed the day before Thanksgiving, Christmas music started on the radio. Isn't that supposed to wait till the day after Thanksgiving? Some of you are happy to hear it early. Some of you listen to it year round. The holiday season. The holiday season seems to be about shopping, doesn't it? So Black Friday sales a week and 2 weeks before Black Friday. Did anybody participate in Black Friday? Nobody. First service. Oh yeah, there we go. first service, there's a sheepish. Yes. But don't forget, it's not over. Well, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, Thrifting Tuesday, and Shoplifting Wednesday. No, that's not real. Do not. But yeah, definitely ignore that one. But do you ever feel like you need to hit a pause button from what the world is throwing at you? But we're going to do that this morning. We're going to hit pause, but we're going to consider what today is. Does anybody know what today is? The first Sunday of Advent. Yep. We got it over here. You were a little slow. The first Sunday of Advent, where we look at hope. And a little history. So Easter coincides with Passover, but Christmas coincides with the winter solstice, okay? So Advent arose as a result of the fixed dating of Christmas. Once December 25th became Christmas, it was the center of gravity for the latter half of the year, a perfect balance to Easter in the first half. In this way, Advent took significance the same way Lent did. Both were preparation for the more significant season to come. Advent in Latin is adventus, and Greek parousia, and the word itself means arrival or appearing or coming into place. So we often speak of Christ's first advent, his first appearance, his coming into place when he was born as a baby, when the light of the world came into place, celebrated during the darkest days of the year, the winter solstice. And his second advent, that's Christ's future return, we are told that the days will get darker, so to speak, leading up to that day, his second return. So the Advent season reminds us of his first coming and his future second coming. So we're looking at Advent as a pause on what the world focuses on in this season. And I want you to consider your place in this world or even in the span of time. Because we're not a people that merely looks at that one moment that Christ stepped into the world when he came to earth as a baby. We look at his life and we await his coming again in glory when the king's reign shall be on earth as it is in heaven. So today, as we consider the first Sunday of Advent, the topic of hope, I want you to keep that in mind as we look at today's scripture. We're in 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfailing, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, now see him. You believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your salvation. Excuse me, the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Pray with me, please. Dear Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your scripture. We ask you to guide and direct us. Reveal to us what we need to hear, what we need to do, and how to do that, Lord. Help us to be obedient, hearers and doers of the word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we look at verse 3, it talks about, it says, blessed be God the Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God for Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His great mercy. Titus 3:5 says, he saves us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one may boast. His mercy is the fact that Jesus did it for us. The bar is so high that only he can do it. But we're born again to a living hope through his resurrection to an inheritance, verse 4, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Excuse me. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. So what are your thoughts on suffering? It's not all it's cracked up to be, is it? I want you to think about that, though. Because if you're an heir of God, a fellow heir with Christ, says, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Who by God's power, verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. someday that inheritance is revealed. In the meantime, there's going to be suffering before glorification. Verse 6 and 7 says, in this you rejoice. So in that inheritance you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, it's necessary. You have been grieved by various trials. So, in Sunday school, gentleman came up, friend said, I got a name for your sermon. Bill's Bible Blitz. And this is why. We're going to go through a lot of scripture here. So it's talking about various trials. James 1, 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Do you cheer? Are you joyous? Like, yeah, trial, right? It's not how we react, is it? 1 Peter 5:10 says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So there's going to be trials. I'm supposed to look at them with joy, knowing that God has my back, so to speak. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In the grand scheme of things, I'm supposed to realize it doesn't amount to a whole lot right now. It pales in comparison to what we're going to experience. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Hebrews 12:11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So the last song we sung talked about our good, good Father. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But there's a purpose to discipline, isn't there? James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Back to verse 7 that we already read, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, that faith that's more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, that tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our trials point to Christ and glorify Him. James 1:3 says, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Job 23:10, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. Psalm 66:10, for you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. Proverbs 17:3, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15 says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, which with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but as only through fire. Verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. So the outcome of your faith is the salvation of your souls. What is faith? Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. I had faith that if I coughed enough, a water would arrive. Excuse me. You just ever have one of those tickles that won't go away? So faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen, a feeling of trust. Hope and faith. Romans 5:1-5 tells us this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Just sounds easy, doesn't it? We've all read those verses. If you haven't, you've heard them right now. But how do we do this? How do we live this out? How do we do it in real life? What do we say to that friend who is suffering? Do we tell him to rejoice in your suffering? Do we tell him that suffering produces endurance? Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Do we tell them to just look for hope? Tell them they need faith. Do we tell them all things work together for good? Do we tap them on the shoulder and say, you know, things could be worse? See, the problem is sometimes when we don't know what to say, we say nothing. Now, you can say the wrong things, but saying nothing is not the right thing to say when somebody's going through a time of suffering. So you think before you speak. Has anybody ever told you that? All the time. Think is an acronym. True, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind. Wait a minute. What I just said is scripture. Rejoice in your suffering. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. That's all true. Look for hope. You need faith. That's inspiring. All things work together for good. That is true for those who love the Lord. And that's a truth that people need to know. It's necessary that a believer knows that. And while, you know, things could be worse, is true, that is not kind. So all those things that I shared, I think, meet the requirements, but the timing is wrong. Let me explain. See, we need to understand these truths, but we need to learn them and know them and understand them before we have to lean on them. A pilot needs to learn how to fly a plane before he has to fly the plane, right? So how do we do this? We do it together. We do it before it's necessary, and we do it often. It needs to be a way of life, because there's no shortage of struggle, trials, suffering in our lives or in the lives around us. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. But through all of this, you have to remember that faith needs to be in Christ alone. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Faith needs to be in Christ alone. And hope in anything apart from Christ is hopeless. And peace, true peace that can only come through Christ, is what's needed. Do you know Christ? Do you have a relationship with him? James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Have you ever reached that point where you said, Lord, reveal yourself to me? And has he? Yeah. If you draw near to God, he draws near to you. So what I said earlier, rejoice in your sufferings. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. We need to look for hope. We need to have faith. All things work together for good. And all things could be worse. See, these are the truths we remind ourselves of and share the outcomes of with others. So you don't necessarily speak that to someone in the pit of suffering because it's not received very well. But if you know it, you remind yourself of it, and you share those moments of when God revealed himself to you, as we all go through these experiences together. And if you're struggling and nobody knows, did you tell anybody you're struggling? This kind of reminds me of the homework Kevin gave us last week. Four things. He said, reflect on the blessings God has given you. And as you went through Thanksgiving, you probably thought about all the things you were thankful for. But I want you to reflect on the blessings God gave you, has given you, those blessings that you didn't see as a blessing in the moment. Those blessings that you look back on and only realize later, that was a blessing. But in the moment, it did not seem that way. The second thing he said was, thank God for saving you. Do we take this gift of salvation lightly? Do we take it for granted? The third thing Kevin urges us to do is speak the truth in love to one person this week. So that was a minimum. He didn't mean that as a maximum, okay? You can speak the truth in love to many people every week, okay? And the fourth thing he said was, look for God sightings and tell somebody. So there's no maximums on that either, the sightings or the somebodies. Look for God working in your life and in the lives of others. Because when you see God working in somebody's suffering, they might or they might not want to hear about it right then. But once they get through it, they do. And you need to look for that. So how do we do life together? If that's what I'm telling you to do, how do we do that? Well, when someone has no hope, we give them hope. We point them to Christ. When someone is looking for hope, we share hope with them. What has Christ done in your life? When someone feels like all hope is lost, we remind them where hope is found, in Christ alone. Some people put their faith in something that's completely hopeless. We see it, we've done it. Some people even operate on the faith of their parents, which it's a parent's job to build faith in a child. But at some point in time, the faith of your parents should become your own, and it should be real and personal. Some even lean on the faith of a friend. Maybe you're that friend. Praise God if you are somebody that's in a struggle or a trial and looks to you. We are to live by faith, but that faith needs to be real and personal. But to be effective, that faith needs to be in Christ alone. So when that friend comes to you, you point them to Christ and remind them that if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. Back to today's passage in verse 10. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. See, the prophets who prophesied the coming Messiah didn't get to see it come to fruition. And we haven't fully seen it yet. It hasn't fully played out. But the salvation believers experience now will be consummated in the future, but it was also prophesied in the past. And believers in Christ represent the fulfillment of this prophecy, and we enjoy the great privilege of living in the days when the history of salvation is being fulfilled. Peter's point was that the prophets predicted these matters, but they didn't know when they would be fulfilled. They hoped and hoped that they would be fulfilled in their days. They were speaking of the Holy Spirit. They wanted to see this coming Messiah. They were eagerly awaiting, watching, but it was many years later. They longed to see it, they wanted to experience the prophecy that God had given them, but they didn't get to. But Peter's early readers did. Some of the original recipients of this letter lived through the birth of Christ. They were there for his first advent, Emmanuel, God with us. Some were there for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They witnessed it firsthand, that point in time that changed the world. Jesus himself told his apostles, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Matthew 13, 16, and 17. So I'm a visual learner. You can see my hands moving. That's because I'm playing it out in my mind. I have things over here and I have things over here. So it might be a distraction to some of you. But see, over here, right, at the beginning, God created. Okay, and that's all the way at this end of the spectrum. And across this timeline, the prophets prophesied of what to was come, the coming Messiah. And somewhere right over here, when time shifted, when the whole world literally was changed, we changed the dating system because Christ entered the world. Somewhere over here, he was born. And about right between your head and your heart, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and he rose from the grave. And that is when the world was changed. And as we go over here, we learn in Revelation about the consummation, when everything is finalized, and we know that that day is coming, but we're somewhere between here and over here. Now, sometimes we think we're close to the end. We're right at the bump on my wrist. And sometimes we might be back here and think that's far away. So the analogy is there. Sometimes it feels like you're living on a bump on the wrist, or sometimes you're living in an armpit. It's kind of what life feels like, isn't it? Somewhere in between there. It's sad, but true. But if you know Christ, you're standing on a foundation that begins at creation, has prophecy, fulfilled prophecy, and the world changing. When Christ entered the world that we celebrate at Christmas, his death, burial, and resurrection that changed the world, somewhere between your head and your heart, it changed your world all the way out to where we're waiting for his return. Stand on that foundation as we move forward. But the thing is, the angels, we stand in contrast to them, because they long to glance at and reflect upon the truths that I've just shared. And angels do delight in God's saving actions, but they don't experience the gospel the same way we do, because they're not the recipients of redemption or salvation. See, the Old Testament prophets saw it from afar, and angels marvel as they look upon what God has done through Christ. And some of the early readers, experienced some of that. But we are in a time of experience also, as we move forward to Christ's second return. So this Advent season, you need to look back at Christ's coming, his first Advent, as we live life, looking forward to Christ's second coming. And as we wrap up, there's questions. I always leave you with questions. Have you experienced redemption? Have you received salvation? Are you enjoying your salvation, and are you anticipating the completion of your salvation, whether it happens at Christ's return or your death? I want you to consider that this Advent season. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that we understand, savor, love, and live your word out, Lord. I pray that we are a light in a dark world. I pray that we are your hands and feet. I pray that we consider who you are and what you've done, and focus on that as we move forward. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.